All right, thank you. I do want to give a big shout out first to Pastor, give a big thanks to Pastor Davidson for allowing me to preach this evening. I do want to thank Pastor so much for all that he does. And there's so much that he does behind the scenes. And one thing that really impressed me when I came here to this church was that I looked and saw and all that this pastor does and realized, wow, this man really cares for his sheep. Secondly, I would like to thank Sidewalks for keeping me off the streets. But lastly, on a more serious note, I would like to thank God so much, my God and Savior, for allowing me to be here today, for saving me, and for so much that he has done, for allowing me to be here where I am today. All right, first, if you guys could turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13 and 14. As we do that, I would like to pray real quick. Lord, I do thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you've done for here today. Thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for the fruit, the blessings we've been able to see through this church, the people that make up this church, that worship and glorify you. Lord, be with Kyle and me today as we share what you have taught us through your word. Lord, we cannot do this without your power. We cannot do this without your help. Lord, but we do pray that you give us wisdom to preach and to share exactly what you would have us to share this evening. And this we pray in your precious and holy name. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13. So I'm going to just go right into this passage. We're going to just stay, if you could just stay in this passage. But here we're going to start with chapter 13. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go thereit. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. My introduction today is going to be a little interesting. I want you guys to imagine a mountain. Imagine a mountain, imagine somewhat like Mount Everest. You know, Mount Everest, of course, is a crazy mountain to be able to climb. But we're going to imagine, just try to focus on the straight and narrow way. The title of my message tonight, it's going to kind of a little weird, but the title of the message is Don't Look Down. I wanted to start off with this mountain. Imagine this insane tall mountain. You got the, you know, one thing when you go hiking or climbing, we don't always know the way to get up to the mountain. It might look like, oh, this looks like just some sort of a path up there, but then we realize, oh, wait a minute, as we start going down this path, this path might go completely around the mountain before we finally start going up the mountain. But as we look into God's word today, I want us to look at first, the number one, the straight gate. So I only got really 2 points today. I know that's unfundamental Baptist of me, but I just got 2 points. The first point is the straight gate. And why must this gate be straight? And why must this gate be narrow? Usually the shortest distance between 2 points is under construction. But here, it corresponds to the Father. It correlates with God's holiness and reflects God's righteousness. One of the reasons why the way is so narrow is because it is only small enough for ourselves to pass through. It is not big enough for the flesh to go with us. We need to be able to cast out that flesh. We need to be able to surrender our lives to God if we were going to be able to make it through that narrow way into that straight gate that God has allowed us, that God wants us to be in there. And the reason why it is so straight is because God demands holiness. And the reason why God demands holiness is because God cannot allow any sin into heaven. And we need to be able to strive to be like him. Christ loved us so much that he died for our sins. And we need to at least be able to turn around and give ourselves, surrender our lives to Christ, be able to cast out our flesh, cast out the flesh as we walk up that straight and narrow way so that we might be able to fit all the way up there. We always hear the illustration about how people go rock climbing or people just go hiking, you're not going to bring like a bunch of really heavy stuff with you, you know, like a couple dozen watermelons or like some elevator boots, you know, even though that might help you get up the mountain, you think, but all these crazy stuff, or like a portable TV is the one we always hear. But today I guess we got phones. This is kind of like the millennials TV, but even that can still bring us down. That can hinder us from reaching up that straight and narrow way. We just need to cast those down so that that does not hinder us, does not distract us to climbing up that mountain. Matthew 16:24-26 says, Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? When our flesh dies, our spirit is free to be able to commune with God. When we don't have that flesh holding us back, we can have full communion. We can be able to talk to God without this a third wheel being here. That was the main reason why we are still here in church today. You know, if it was so easy, like, we forgot the broad way. We're going to second look at the bride, the wide gate, the broad way. This is the way of destruction, the broad gate. Why is the gate wide? Well, the gate is wide because there are many paths that lead to it. There's a lot of different paths. People say, this is the way. This is the way to have eternal life. This is the way for creation. This is the way to get saved. This is how you have peace. But like we got atheism, Buddhism, you know, pop starism, and even the all-American dreamism. All these ways that people want to try to show you, this is how you have peace. This is how you have eternal life. But there is only one way, that straight and narrow way. And the reason why the way is wide, is because there are so many people that travel down this path, because it is easy. It is hard trying to imagine the mountain, trying to be able to climb up there, trying to be able to try to use all our strength just to make it to that next step, just to be able to make it to that next plateau. And sometimes it seems impossible. But of course it is impossible without God. And so that is so easy for us to be able to look down this broad way, this easy-looking way, this way that, oh, look, yeah, look over there. All my friends are going over there. Like, look, they even got free Wi-Fi and Pop-Tarts and all this stuff that looks so appeasing to the flesh. But it only leads down the path of destruction. It may look like it's going up that path at some point, but it will only lead down the path of destruction. And here I want to bring us to three other subpoints off of this. Is first, we want to look at the lust of the flesh. Here, when we go up this straight narrow way, it is easy for us, especially when trials and tribulations come into our lives. We want to say, we start climbing and we use all our strength to be able to climb up that mountain. And then we see a big rock slide or some trial in our life that tries to cast us down, tries to make us slip and fall, some temptation that the devil throws at us, like some wind or some other different ways, areas in our life that will affect us to make us try to either trip and fall. And sometimes we do. We do slide. We do fall. There are so many times in our Christian life where we will fall down to the ground. And then the hardest part, though, sometimes is getting back up and realizing you got to go back up that way again. You got to go down that straight and narrow path. And it's so easy to look down that path and say, wow, all my friends are going there. Hey, look, it's Bobby. Yeah, I knew that guy. I remember when he got saved. I remember when he surrendered his life to the Lord at a Christian camp, and all my friends are going down that way. You know, they're partying, having a good time, drinking, and doing all these things, and I know they're going to heaven, and it can't be that bad, but that's only the path of destruction. You will not find peace there. You will not find happiness over there. You'll only find it going down the path, the straight and narrow way. Next thing I do want to look at is the lust of the eyes. Again, going back down to, we see those people over there. I guess that was the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes. Got a little ahead of myself. Sorry. I'm not dumb. I'm not a complete idiot. I still got some parts missing. But I'm trying to find back where my line is. Okay, the pride of life. The second, third point I want us to get at is we still have the pride, the lust of the flesh. As we go down that path, we try a little bit. We take a little bit of bite. We try a little bit of the free Wi-Fi and try a little bit of the Pop-Tarts and like all the flesh that pleasure that only lasts for a season. We enjoy this. We want to go further and further and further down this path, and it gets us sucked in. So we have the life of the flesh, and then we got the life of the eyes as we're going back. We're looking down, and we see we see the flesh again. We see all those things going down there, and we get distracted with it, and we lust after it. And then we decide to turn away from where we were going and try to go down this path. And then I want to look at the pride of life. The pride of life. And here we're going up the straight and narrow way, and life looks like, this is actually not too hard. You know, it looks like life is going too easy. I've been able to read my Bible every single day. I go to church every time the doors are open. I make sure I even brush my teeth. I even, like, make sure I'm a deacon. I help in the ministry, outreach. I've even able to lead some people to the Lord. And we may even be a pastor or a deacon somewhere. But if we can let that so easy, we can pride get into our lives and like us to blind our lives to where we're really going. We may try to make it up to the path of righteousness, try to the gate of holiness, But if we're looking down at those people, we look at those people over there and say, look at those people going down that path of wickedness. Man, those people, like, I'm a lot better than that. I can go down this path and, like, look at all the good I've done down there. Or maybe there's a baby Christian down there and they're coming up the path. He's trying as hard as he can to climb up that mountain. He may not be going as fast as you may want him to go or as fast as people, because people grow differently in the Lord as far as a relationship with Christ. And we may look at that baby Christian or look at that fellow Christian and think, oh, I'm better than that, you know. They'll never be able to make up to where I am. They'll never be able to mount to be able to get all the way to the top. And that pride, it blinds us. It blinds us to be able to get to the top as well. Because if we try to do it through our own self, we will fall every single time. There's no way we can make it to the top except without Christ, except without his power. That's the only way we are going to be able to make it up to the straight and narrow way. For Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Lastly, I want to conclude remind us that we cannot do this alone. We look to the flesh, we start walking down the path of the flesh, it tempts us. We cannot get out of this path without Christ. We can't get back to the straight and narrow way unless we have Christ. For wide is the way, but all we need to do is just ask. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When we ask, Christ is at the door. When we knock, Christ will open. When we ask him for help, he will give it to us. But we got to ask. We can't just be here and going down this path and says, Christ, where are you? Are you going to help me? Without saying, I'm looking for help, but I'm not asking Christ. I'm not looking to him. I still want to try to eat these Pop-Tarts and go down the path, and I'm still looking for Christ for help. We need to get rid of that destruction. We need to get rid of those sins that's going to keep us down that path in order to be able to continue going up that path of the narrow way. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And then we need someone to guide our way. The only way we can make it up that path is through Jesus Christ. He's the one that lights the way. Like I said before, it may look like it might not be the right way. Like we might be confused, and this doesn't look like it's going to be the way to the top, but God has the perfect way. God knows exactly which footholds are the safest. God knows which place that you step your foot, even though he knows if that place is going to give away. He knows exactly what our path should have and lay upon us. And all we need to do is surrender our lives to him. Let him guide us, show us where to put the next step. We don't need to worry about where the path, what exactly the path looks like. But we don't need to know what the path is. We need to know where the next step that God has in our lives. And then lastly, we need to cast off the flesh and be able in order to be able to get there. Because otherwise that will hold us back. And we must surrender all to be able to enter into the straight and narrow gate. And so I would like to ask you, and just to remind you, don't look down.